الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Darse Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حميم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. ما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وأجل مسمى، والذين كفروا عما أنذروا معرضون. قل أرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله أروني ماذا خلقوا من الأرض أم لهم شرك في السماوات، إيتوني بكتاب من قبل هذا أو أثارة من علم إن كنتم صادقين. ومن أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة وهم عن دعائهم غافلون. وإذا حشر الناس كانوا لهم أعداء وكانوا بعبادتهم كافرين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرحني صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. The name of the next surah is Surah Al-Ahqaf. And this surah has been given this name because this word Al-Ahqaf, it appears in the third ruku of this surah. وَذْكُرْ أَخَا عَاد إِذْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that make a mention of the brother of the nation of Ad, meaning Sayyiduna Hud alayhi salatu wassalam, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was sent to this nation Ad. إِذْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ, when he warned his nation by the Ahqaf, by the long curved sand dunes. So the word ahqaf is plural and the singular is hikfun. And hikfun means a sand dune, like a small hill made out of sand. So where the nation of Ad were located, it was in a desert, in a place known as Ar-Rub'ul Khali. And because there were long curved sand dunes there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this place and mentions the word Al-Ahqaf. So taking that one word from the surah, as is the practice in many surahs, this is known as Tasmiyatul Kul bi Ismil Juz, that the entire surah is named after one word from that particular surah. So the word Al-Ahqaf has been taken from this surah, and this surah is also called Suratul Ahqaf. This surah, Suratul Ahqaf, is the last of the seven surahs in the glorious Quran, which begin with the ayah Hamim. So those who have been attending the lessons will know that the previous six surahs which we discussed, they all began with Hamim. And it was mentioned before also that there are seven surahs in the Quran, and they all appear in this Quran one after another. They all begin with Hamim. They are known as Ale Hamim, the family of Hamim. And they are all Makki surahs. They were all revealed before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. And during the Makki period, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkatul Mukarrama, because this was the beginning and the inception of Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had just been granted prophethood. So this was a new religion. It was something new for the people of Makkatul Mukarrama. So the surahs which were revealed in Makkatul Mukarrama, the first 13 years of revelation, from the age of 40 till the age of 53. In these surahs, the Makki surahs, great emphasis was placed upon the three fundamental topics. Number one, Tawheed. Allah Ta'ala exists and Allah Ta'ala is one. Number two, Risalat. That from the time of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, Allah Ta'ala has been sending down his prophets. And from amongst them now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, Ma'ad, that there is a life after death. After you will die, there will be another life. So great emphasis was placed upon these aqaid and these beliefs. And thereafter, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, because now Islam had spread, Madinatul Munawwara had become a center of Islam. It had become an Islamic state. So now the commandments began to be revealed, the commands regarding the deen. Even in the Makki period, there were certain commands which were revealed. For example, Salah. So in the 10th year after migration, sorry, the 10th year after prophethood. So before migration, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in Makkatul Mukarrama, he went for Mi'raj and he was given the command of Salah. But less commands were revealed in the Makki period. More commands were revealed in the Madani period. In the Makki period, more emphasis was being placed upon trying to correct the aqaid and the beliefs of the people in Makkatul Mukarrama, because they were all idol worshippers. They were extremely far from the correct belief of monotheism, of believing in one Allah. And they were drowned in polytheism, in shirk. They were used to worshipping 360 idols. And they were so engrossed in idol worship that they say that we would take one stone and we would like the manner in which this stone looked, so we would say that today this is our God. And after walking a few steps, if they saw another stone which was more appealing, then they would leave that first stone and they would say that now this is our God. And some of them, they say that we would take a date And we would say that this is our God. And then during the journey, when they would become hungry, they would eat that very date. So these were the people to whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. So great emphasis was being laid in the Makki surahs that Allah Ta'ala exists and Allah Ta'ala is one. There is prophethood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the prophet of Allah. So listen to him. Listen to his message. Accept what he is saying to you. And there is a life after death. So when there is a life after death, it's not that if you believe, then it's fine. If you don't believe, then it's fine. No, there is a life after death. You are going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with these three fundamental topics, in these seven surahs, which begin with Hameem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins every surah with a fourth topic also, which is a topic of the Qur'an. That the Qur'an is the kalam and the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not man-made. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not made up this Qur'an himself, like the disbelievers would claim. This is why if you look at the seven surahs which begin with Hameem, the first one, Suratul Mu'min. It begins with the verse, Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitabi Minallahil Azizil Alim. This is revelation of the book from Allah, who is the Almighty, the All-Knowing. The second surah, Surah Hameem Sajda. How does it begin? Hameem, Tanzeelum Minar Rahmanir Rahim. This is a revelation from the one who is the All-Merciful, the Very Merciful. The third surah, Surah Ash-Shura, Hameem, Ain Sin Qaf, Kadhalik. This is how Yuhi Ilayka. Allah Ta'ala sends revelation to you, wa ila alladhina min qablik, and to those before you. And who is this Allah? He is Al-Aziz, the All-Powerful, and Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. The fourth surah, Surah Az-Zukhruf, Hameem, Wal-Kitab al-Mubin, by the manifest clear book, Inna ja'alnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Indeed, we have made it an Arabic Qur'an, so that you may understand. And the fifth surah, Surah Ad-Dukhan, Hameem, Wal-Kitab al-Mubin, by the manifest book, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakatin. Indeed, we have revealed it in a blessed night. The sixth surah, Suratul Jathiyah, Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitabi Minallahil Azizil Hakim. This is revelation of the book from Allah, who is the Almighty and the All-Wise. And finally, this seventh surah, Suratul Ahqaf, also begins in exactly the same manner as the previous surah, Suratul Jathiyah, began. So, Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitabi Minallahil Azizil Hakim. This Quran is a revealed book from Allah, the Mighty, the Wise. As far as Hameem is concerned, we have already discussed that it is from Huruf Muqatta'at. And the most preferred opinion is Allahu A'lamu Bimuradihi. Allah Ta'ala Himself knows what the meaning of Hameem is. Tanzeelul Kitabi Minallahil Azizil Hakim. This Quran is a revealed book from Allah, the Mighty, the Wise. Who has revealed this Quran? That Allah has revealed the Quran, who is Al-Aziz. He is the Almighty. He is the one who always possesses power. He is never overpowered. In this world, if somebody is extremely powerful, there will be times during his life when somebody else will overpower him. So there is only one being who is so powerful that he can never be overpowered, and that is Allah Ta'ala. This is the difference between Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and the human being. Yes, you may see in certain situations that a person is doing something which is contrary to the will of Allah Ta'ala. You see somebody disobeying Allah Ta'ala. So when you see somebody disobeying Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, you shouldn't be deceived and think that Allah Ta'ala, he has been overpowered. Because Allah Ta'ala wants this person to do this and he is doing something completely against the will of Allah. This is Allah Ta'ala giving this person the opportunity and the ability to do as he desires. But Allah Ta'ala has full power. Just as when you have police and they see a criminal doing something wrong, but they give the criminal opportunities. They do not go and arrest him. They carry out surveillance. So a person should not be deceived and think that this person, he has overpowered the police. He has committed one crime, second crime, third crime, fourth crime, and the police are not doing anything to him. No, the police are watching and they are recording everything. And when the police feel that now is the correct time to take this person to task, then they will take him to task. So in the same way, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also knows through his hikmah, through his wisdom, that for how long should I give respite to an individual before I take him to task. So he is never overpowered. He is the all-powerful. Nobody can overpower him. And as far as human beings are concerned, there is no human being who can claim to be Al-Aziz, the all-powerful. Because a human being is overpowered by others also, and he is overpowered by himself also. There will be many times in your life when somebody else will overpower you, because they are more stronger than you. Either physically they are more stronger than you, so they will overpower you. Financially they are more stronger than you, so they overpower you. Mentally they are more powerful than you, so they overpower you. And many a times you are overpowered by your own self, by your own emotions. You are so happy and elated that you do something or say something which later on you regret. But in that moment you aren't thinking right, because your emotions got the better of you. Sometimes this happens when a person is extremely sad, very grieved. So this emotion of sadness overtakes this person, overpowers this person, and he does something or says something which later on he regrets. But Allah Ta'ala is Al-Aziz. He is the all-powerful. He is never overpowered. أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Allah Ta'ala says, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ. That power belongs to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So this Quran, which has been revealed, it has been revealed from that Allah who is extremely powerful. He is the all-powerful. He is never overpowered. So a person may think to himself that when this Quran has been revealed by such a powerful being, such a powerful creator, then it's very possible that the commands which he has given to you and I in this book, they will be very stern. They will be very difficult for us to practice upon. So Allah Ta'ala further says, Al-Hakim. Not only is he Al-Aziz, he is Al-Hakim, he is the All-Wise. So when he is the All-Wise, then this lawmaker is such that he will never oppress anyone with his laws. Despite having full authority and full control and full power, every command which he has given in the Quran is full of wisdom. And he knows exactly that those who I am giving these commands to, are they able to bring these commands into their lives or not? He knows what our ability is. And together with knowing our ability, he also knows what is beneficial for us and what is harmful for us. So when he is making this law that in the summer at 4 a.m. you will have to wake up and you will have to perform your Fajr Salah, this law is not being made only by that being who is Aziz, it is also being made by that being who is Hakim, who is the All Wise. So he knows that for my servant who lives in the UK, the best thing he can do at 4 a.m. is wake up and perform Fajr Salah. Whether you and I can understand wisdom behind this command or not, but he is Hakim. When he makes this law that in the UK you will have to fast in July for 20 hours, it's not because he is Aziz that he is so powerful that he is telling us you will have to do this. No, he is also Hakim. He is the All Wise. So you and I may not be able to understand that what sort of a law is this, but he is Hakim, he is the All Wise. He will only tell us to do those things which are beneficial for us. And like this, the entire deen. So, Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim. This Quran is a revelation from that Allah who is Aziz, the All Powerful, the Almighty, and Al Hakim, the All Wise. Ma khalaqna as-samawati wal arda wa ma baynahuma illa bil haqqi wa ajalin musamma. We have created the heavens, the earth, and whatever is between the two with wisdom. Illa bilhaqti, with a specific purpose, with a true purpose. There are many times in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed such verses with this topic and with this theme. And in those verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this specific point that we have created the heavens, the earth, and whatever is between the two, in certain places Allah ta'ala mentions these words, illa bilhaqti, that with true purpose. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, that illa bilhaq, with true purpose, then three rulings are established. The first ruling which is established is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have created the heavens and the earth and whatever is between the two with a specific purpose. This refers to this point that Allah ta'ala exists and Allah ta'ala is one. Meaning that if a person was to look at this entire world, that how this world is running in a systematic manner, a person looks at how the sun rises and the sun sets, a person ponders over the creation of the moon, the creation of the stars, the trees, the oceans, the mountains, the entire system of the world, then this will lead him to believing in this point that there has to be one extremely powerful being who has created this entire world. It's not possible for this whole world to come into existence without a creator. So one wisdom behind creating the entire world and making this world run in a very systematic manner is that a person who will ponder will come to this conclusion that there is a powerful being who has created this entire world. Number two, he will come to this conclusion that this powerful being has to be one and cannot be two. لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَ. Because in any organization, if you have more than one person in charge, then that entire organization will be destroyed. One person will say, we want to do it this way. The other person will say, we want to do it this way. So one person will say, I want the sun to rise at 7 a.m. The other God will say, I want the sun to rise at 8 a.m. By now, this world would have been destroyed. So, مَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. The first ruling which is established from here is that Allah Ta'ala exists and Allah Ta'ala is one. Number two, the second ruling which is established is that when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created this extremely powerful system of this world, and after creating this extremely powerful system, He is also running this system. At every single moment, He is the one who is running everything which is happening in this world. There is nobody else who is running the system of this world besides Allah. So He created a very powerful system, He is running a very powerful system. And this means that He is fulfilling the needs of every creation which is living in this world. He is fulfilling my needs, He is fulfilling your needs, He is fulfilling the needs of all the creations. This makes Him a mun'im and a muhsin, one who confers favors upon others. And one who confers favors upon others, one who is extremely kind upon other people, he is just. He does not oppress anyone. So we have somebody who is running the system of this world, who is conferring favors upon us and who is extremely just. He is not unjust. He is not an oppressor. Now when this second point has been established, then the third point is that as far as this world is concerned, some people die as oppressors and some die as oppressed. But Allah Ta'ala is extremely just. We have already established the second point. He is extremely just. When He is extremely just, some are dying as oppressors, some are dying as oppressed. So when will justice prevail? When will the oppressor be punished? And when will the oppressed be given his reward? So from here, the third point is now established, that there is a life after death. And when this life after death will occur, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will punish the oppressors and He will reward those who are oppressed. So by mentioning illa bil haq, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has established the three points and the three rulings. And thereafter Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that wa ajalim musamma, that we have created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in between them for a specified term, for a fixed period of time. This refers to two things. One is that each person or each creation, they have their specified time. I have my specified time. So when my specified time will come to an end, I will have to leave this world. So like this, each person has got their specified time. Each creation has its specified time. A flower has its specified time. Once that time is finished, that flower will die. The tree will have its specified time. A fruit has its specified time. So every creation has its specified time. And number two, the entire world has its specified time. When that specified time will also come to an end, then Yawmul Qiyamah, Qiyamah will take place. Allah Ta'ala has created everything for a specified time. So the heavens, the earth, whatever is in between them, Allah Ta'ala has created all of it with a true purpose. If someone was to ponder, they will come to this realization that Allah Ta'ala exists and Allah Ta'ala is one. They will come to this realization that Allah Ta'ala is the one who is conferring favor upon favor upon favor upon all of us. And they will come to this conclusion that there is a life after death. But وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا those who disbelieve, the disbelievers, أَمَّا أُنذِرُوا مُعْرِضُونَ they are averse, they turn their faces away, they are neglectful, they are careless, and they don't prepare for the life after death. Despite of all of this, the entire world crying out to them that there is an Allah, you have to believe in this Allah, there is a life after death. But they are completely neglectful of this reality and they are turning their faces away from this and they are living a life full of neglect. So in these first couple of ayat of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an introduction. And in this introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these fundamental beliefs which each and every person should have. And after this introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes into detail. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, قُلْ أَوْ نَبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ say, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say to the mushrikeen, those who ascribe partners with Allah. And when we speak about mushrikeen, we should keep this point in mind also, that one is those people who with Allah ta'ala, they also ascribe other partners. They believe in idols or they believe in other gods. They worship the sun or the moon or the stars. Some worship idols, some worship angels. But there are many who themselves think to themselves that we are Muslim, we are mu'min, we are believers. But they have certain beliefs which also leads them to shirk. You will get certain individuals who are Muslim, they practice upon Islam. But they believe that if I was to go to this particular grave and ask from the pious servant who is buried in this grave, he will be able to fulfill my needs. So instead of saying, oh Allah cure me, they go to that grave of that pious individual and they say, oh saint, cure me. This is also shirk. So there are many, even in our time, who are unaware that they are also from the group of mushrikeen. So we should be very careful with regards to this. So Allah Ta'ala says that, قُلْ أَوْ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ say, أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ أَمْ لَهُمْ شِرْكٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ إِتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ هَذَا أَوْ أَثَارَةٍ مِّنْ عِلْمٍ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ أَرَأَيْتُمْ think and ponder. And after you think and you ponder, tell me about those whom you invoke instead of Allah. Those who you ask from instead of Allah Ta'ala. So either you ask from them to fulfill your needs, or you worship them. Because الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْإِبَادَةِ Dua is the essence of ibadah and worship. So you worship them or you ask from them to fulfill your needs. So tell me about those whom you invoke instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is Allah Ta'ala mentioning this? Because when you ascribe a partner with Allah, it's necessary for that partner to be a khaliq, a creator. If he is not a creator, he is not worthy of ibadah and worship, because Allah Ta'ala is khaliq. Allah Ta'ala has created everything. So you are claiming that this being is also worthy of being worshipped, or he is worthy of being asked for. If I was to ask him to fulfill a need, he will be able to fulfill my need. For that, he needs that power to be a khaliq and a creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you are claiming that this particular idol or this particular person is worthy of worship. Now, a claim requires proof. And there will be many different categories. For example, there will be one category who will completely place this belief to one side that Allah Ta'ala exists. They will not believe in Allah at all. And they will say that this is a deity. This is what I worship. And besides this being or this idol, there is no other deity. They don't believe in Allah at all. They only believe in their deity or their God, their idol. Then you will have a second group who will say that we believe in Allah, and with Allah we also believe that this is also our deity. So we believe in Allah also, and we believe in this deity also. And thereafter you will have a third group who will say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the big God. And under Him, we believe in other gods who are smaller gods. So they believe in Allah as the big God, and they believe in other gods who are the smaller gods. And you have a fourth category whose belief is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. But this particular creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been given the ability to do certain godly tasks. Like the example I have given. That they will believe that a certain pious person, if I was to go to his grave and say that cure me, then cure, which is the quality of Allah that only Allah Ta'ala can cure. Only Allah Ta'ala can cure. This is our belief. But they believe that if I was to ask from this particular person that cure me, he will be able to cure me. So whichever category you are part of, whichever category you belong to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this claim now will require proof. You will have to prove your claim. You are claiming that Allah Ta'ala doesn't exist. Or you are claiming that with Allah there is also another deity. Or you are claiming that Allah is the big God and thereafter there are smaller gods. Or you are claiming that Allah is the only God, but other creations also have certain godly abilities in them. Whatever your claim is, your claim requires proof. And as far as proof is concerned, there are two types of proof. The first type of proof is that a person presents a rational argument. And the second type of proof is which refers to and relies on the statement of an authority. For example, a person is in a workplace and suddenly there is a fire there. So when there is a fire in the workplace, what will a person do? Instantly he will try to extinguish the fire. Now in this situation, this person will not say that because in my job description it was not written that if there is a fire you must try to extinguish the fire. This is why I didn't extinguish the fire. No, this is a rational argument. A rational argument that the brain tells you that in this situation, whether your boss tells you or does not tell you, you have to extinguish the fire. Otherwise, your life and everyone's life is at risk. You don't wait for a command from the authority. You don't wait that for an instruction from the manager, from the boss. And the second type of argument is that which refers to and relies on the statement of an authority. For example, that your job is that from 9 to 5 you have to be on the phone. You work in a call center. Now during these hours, you are seen vacuuming. So somebody asks you that, why are you vacuuming the room at this moment in time when you are supposed to be on the phone? So you will show them the email that, look, I have received an email from our manager and he has told me to vacuum. So this is my proof. So either it will be written or you will say that verbally he informed me that although you're supposed to be on the phone at this moment in time, But I am giving you the command that you must vacuum at this moment in time. So these are the two types of proof. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that as far as these people are concerned, as far as the first type, which is the rational proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq, is that if you were to ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth, then by pondering over the creations of the heavens and the earth, you will definitely come to this conclusion that Allah Ta'ala is the creator, He is the one who is the being, He is the only one who is worthy of worship. This is the rational proof. And they have no rational proof through which they can prove whatever they believe in. So this only leaves now the second type. That do they have a statement from an authority? Now as far as Allah Ta'ala is concerned, there can only be one authority, and that is Allah Himself. Nobody else can speak about Allah. This is where when it comes to the second type of proof, this is called naqli dalil. So there are two types of naqli dalil. One is Quran and the second is Hadith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first of all, with regards to the rational proof, that aruni maza khalaqu min al-ard, show me what part of the earth they have created. This entire earth. So from the entire earth, Allah Ta'ala is saying that I have created everything. Now if you claim that this is your God, or this is also a God, or this being also has some sort of godly given ability, then just tell me this much, that from the entire earth, can you even claim that this 1 centimeter or this 1 inch here, my God has created? Everything else Allah has created, but this 1 centimeter Allah has not created. The person who I claim to have godly abilities has created. أَمْ لَهُمْ شِرْكٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. And if they can't find even 1 inch or 1 centimeter on earth, then let's go into the heavens. Do they have a share in the creations of the heavens? Can they say that Allah has created everything in the heavens, but this one star here, our God has created? Or one part of the moon, our God has created? So when it comes to the first type of proof, the rational proof, they have no proof that their gods, who they claim to be gods, are gods, or deities, or creators. So they have no rational proof. Now we come to the second type of proof, which is from an authority. So when it comes from an authority, then إِتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا. Bring me a divine book that has come before this, meaning before the Quran. So as far as the Quran is concerned, you won't find a single ayah which will tell you that there is a God besides Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, Quran is out of the way. Now the other books, Tawrat, Zabur, Injil, the other scriptures, approximately 124,000 prophets. Take all of the divine books, all of the divine scriptures, and try to find one sentence in which it says that there is another God besides Allah. And present that to us. Again, you don't have any proof. This leads us to the final opportunity, that O atharati min ilmin, that when there's no divine book, when there's nothing written, can you bring to us a trace from ilm, a trace from knowledge? What does this trace from knowledge mean? This trace from knowledge means that can you present to us a prophetic statement with a sound chain? So you don't have it written, but you can say with a sound chain that I have heard from so and so, who has heard from so and so, who has heard from so and so, who has heard from this prophet, meaning who has heard from Musa alayhi salam, or who has heard from Isa alayhi salam, that yes, there is another God besides Allah. Again, they will not be able to present this. So there are two types of proof, aqli dalil and naqli dalil. Aqli dalil, the rational argument. As far as the rational argument is concerned, you look at the entire earth, they can't pinpoint to even one inch and say that this has been created by someone other than Allah. In the heavens, they can't point towards one point and say that this has been created by other than Allah. So they have no aqli dalil. And naqli dalil, as far as Quran is concerned, they will find not a single ayah that says there is a God besides Allah. All the other divine scriptures, they will not find a single ayah. And when it comes to prophetic statements with a sound chain, they will not find a single statement. So they have no proof whatsoever. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that, can you present any proof? In kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful. Now obviously the answer is that no, they cannot present any proof. They cannot present any proof. So when they cannot present any proof, then the claim which they are making that there is a God besides Allah, or there is someone else who has God-given abilities, this claim of theirs is completely baseless. And when you have a claim which is completely baseless, and then you remain stubborn on that claim, then there is no one who is more ignorant, who is more foolish, and who is more astray than this person. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ? Who can be more misled? Who can be more astray? Who can be more in error? مِمَّا يَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Than the one who calls or who worships beings besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Who cannot respond, answer to him until the day of Qiyamah. وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ And who are totally unaware of their call, meaning their prayers and their worship. Who do these people worship? They worship stones. They worship idols which are made from metal, made from wood. Some worship the moon, the sun, the stars. And some they worship previous prophets. Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam. Trinity, Jesus, Mary. And some they worship the previous pious people who have now passed away. Some worship the angels. Now these deities that they are worshipping, they cannot hear what these people are asking for. When they ask for something, this idol cannot hear. What did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam say to his father? Ya abati, lima ta'budu, ma la yasma'u. Oh my beloved father, why are you worshipping that thing which cannot hear? Wala yubsiru, it cannot see. Wala yugni anka shay'an, it cannot benefit you in the slightest. It cannot even give you one pence. So why are you worshipping something which cannot hear, which cannot see, and which cannot benefit you in the slightest? So these idols, they can't hear. And even if they did have the ability to listen, if Allah Ta'ala gave them the ability to hear, then when you would ask them for something, they do not have the ability to fulfill your requests. So first of all, they cannot hear. And if they could hear, then they still cannot fulfill your request. So why are you trying to worship and ask from those things which cannot hear and which cannot fulfill your requests? See? This is why Allah Ta'ala mentions in another place that lahu da'watul haq. The dua, the only recipient for dua is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only one being who is worthy of going into his court and asking from him. And that is Allah. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ Those people who go and ask from beings other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ These beings are not going to be able to fulfill their request in the slightest. In the slightest, not even one atom will they be able to give. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala gives an example that illa kabasiti kaffayhi ila al-ma liyablugha fahu. The example of these people who go and ask from others other than Allah Ta'ala is like that person who goes and stands on the edge of the ocean or on the edge of a well or by the tap and the water is running. And then he says that, oh water, come into my mouth. Now even if until the day of Qiyamah Allah Ta'ala gave him life and he continued to say, oh water, come in my mouth, oh water, come in my mouth. There's this bottle of water here. And I say, oh water, come in my mouth. The Quran says, وَمَا هُوَ بِبَالِغِهِ. That water is not going to come into the mouth. So in the same way, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. These disbelievers, their du'as, their supplications which they make to their idols, they are never going to be accepted. They can continue to ask until the day of Qiyamah, but nobody is going to respond to their requests. If only they turn their attention from these idols towards Allah Ta'ala. During the time of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, there was a worshipper, and all day he would just keep saying, Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu. So Sanam in Arabic means idol. So this is how he would worship his idol. Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu. Oh idol, oh idol, oh idol. So one day, while saying Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu, sleep overtook him. And without realizing, instead of saying Ya Sanamu, he said Ya Samadu. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad. So Allah Ta'ala, one of his names is Samad, the independent. Allah Ta'ala is independent. He is not in need of anyone. He is not in need of anyone. But he is not in need of anyone does not pay justice to this word Samad. One is someone who is not in need of anybody. He is not in need of anybody. But Allah Ta'ala is such that He is not in need of anyone, but everyone else is in need of Him. This is Samad. I can say, I am not in need of you, but you can say, I am not in need of you either. Allah Ta'ala is such that He is not in need of anyone, but everybody else is in need of Allah Ta'ala. So he was saying, Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu, Ya Sanamu, O idol, O idol, O idol. This was his life, day in, day out, day in, day out. One day, without realizing, he said, Ya Samadu, O Samad. So instantly Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala replied and said, Labbayk, O my servant, ask for what you want. So his eyes opened. So Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, being the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said that, oh Allah, he was not asking from you. By mistake, he said, Ya Samad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, oh Musa, all these years he has been saying, Ya Sanamu, and he had no reply. When he said, Ya Samadu, if I also did not reply, then what would have been the difference between Samad and Sanam? This is the difference between Allah and all the other deities. That the other deities, you can question from them and you can ask from them. For a million years, you are going to get no reply. But Allah Ta'ala is that being that you ask from Him and He will instantly reply. So Allah is the one who we need to ask from. Allah, whatever our needs are, we need to ask from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in another place mentions, إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ. If you were to ask from these idols, number one, they cannot hear what you are asking. So you are asking from an idol, the idol cannot hear you. وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَا اسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ. If they could hear, they will not be able to fulfill your requests. So even here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ. Who can be more misled and in more error than that person? يَدْعُو مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. who calls to beings besides Allah, مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ, who cannot respond, who cannot answer to him, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, until the day of Qiyamah. وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ, and who are totally unaware of their call. They cannot hear what you are asking from. Now the question which arises is, Allah Ta'ala here is mentioning, until the day of Qiyamah they are not going to respond. So does that mean that on the day of Qiyamah there is going to be a response? So the answer is yes. On the day of Qiyamah there will now be a response from those who used to worship. وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسِ, وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسِ, when people are resurrected, كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً, then they, the gods, will be enemies to them. وَكَانُوا بِإِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ, and will reject their worship. So in this world, whenever these people used to call towards their idols, or towards those beings other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they received no response whatsoever. They were hoping for a positive response. But forget a positive response, they did not even receive a response. And finally, on the day of Qiyamah, when they will receive a response, the response will be a negative response. It will be a negative response. Ya Isa ibn Maryam, Allah Ta'ala will say to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the son of Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary. They worship Jesus, they worship Mary, Trinity, God. Ya Isa ibn Maryam, O Isa ibn Maryam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ, did you say to the people, اِتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّي إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, that take me and my mother as gods instead of Allah? Look, this question will be posed to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of Qiyamah. So what will Isa alayhi salam's reply be? Subhanak, your being is completely pure, O Allah. مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍ, it does not befit me to say that except for that which is the truth. أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍ, إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَقَدْ عَلِمْتَهُ, and if I had said that, if I had told the people to worship me, then you would have known. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي, you know everything which is within myself. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ, but I do not know what goes through your mind. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ, you are the one who has the knowledge of the unseen. So on the day of Qiyamah, these deities, whether it was Isa alayhi salam, regarding whom the Christians said he is the son of Allah, whether it was Uzair alayhi salam, regarding whom the Jews said, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ أُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ, that Uzair is the son of Allah. Those who worship the malaika and the angels, those who worship other prophets or other pious people, they will all feel ashamed that why did these people worship us? How can you worship us and leave Allah? So they will become, those that were being worshipped will become the enemies of those who used to worship them. وَكَانُوا بِإِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ, and they will reject their worship. They will say that no, they did not worship us. They thought they were worshipping us, but they were not worshipping us. This was just something which was going through their minds, that I am worshipping Jesus, or I am worshipping Uzair, or I am worshipping the angels. They were not worshipping us. So in these initial six ayat of Surah Al-Ahqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated shirk, ascribing partners with him. And he has drawn our attention towards Tawheed. So we need to ensure that we also very firmly have Tawheed within us. At all times. When the crunch comes, this is when many believers also fail the test. A person is desperate for something. One example, that you have sons, you have daughters, and you have been looking for a suitable spouse for them. 1 year passes, 2 years passes, 3 years pass, 4 years pass. Now you've tried all the permissible avenues to try and find a suitable spouse for your son, for your daughter. But there's no luck. Because everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Now instead of telling yourself that this is the decree of Allah, you try and fight the decree of Allah Ta'ala by using an impermissible route. You get cards in your house posted in your letterbox. And it says on there that I can remove all your difficulties. If you are having financial problems, if you are having marital problems, if you want children and you are not able to have children. Now people fall for this. People spend hundreds and thousands. And they think that by taking this route, my problem will be solved. And they lose that yaqeen and that conviction in Allah Ta'ala that it's Allah who does everything. So when the crunch comes, it's very important that your tawheed remains firm. That no, it's only Allah who is able to do this. Yes, we are allowed to use means, but we are only allowed to use permissible means, not impermissible means. So if you have to go to somebody and they say that you will have to mention these two sentences, and those two sentences are against our beliefs, it's against Islam, then you shouldn't fall for it. People go to certain raqis who make them spend thousands and who make them say certain things. But because this person is so desperate, he's not thinking straight now. So not only is he parting with his money, he is also parting with his iman. So tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized in these first few verses of this surah, is very important that we keep this in mind, that everything is in the power and the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions in a hadith of Qudsi that, Ya ibadi, O my beloved servant, kullukum dalun, every one of you was astray. None of you are on the straight path. And none of you are on the straight path illa man hadaytahu, except for that being or that person who I guide. So guidance is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So yes, we gain guidance by sitting in the gatherings of the ulama, by reading kitabs, by sitting in the company of the pious. But this is a means. We have to keep this in mind that these are the means. The ulama, they are means. Kitabs are means. The pious, they are means. The real hadi and the real guide is Allah Ta'ala. If someone begins to believe that I'm being guided because of this imam or because of this alim, and his mind goes away from Allah Ta'ala, he could also be turning away from tawheed. You have to keep this in mind that the real guide is Allah, and this is just the means. Ya ibadi kullukum ja'i, O my beloved servants, every single one of you was hungry. Illa man at'amtahu, except for that person who I feed. This is why after we eat, we say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana. All praise be to that Allah who has fed us. So our father has not fed us. Our mother has not fed us. Yes, they are the means. So we will be grateful to them also. We will be grateful to them that Jazakallah for feeding us. But our mind should not go towards this point that if my father is not in the house tomorrow, then that means that there is no way I am going to get food. No. The mindset should be that Allah Ta'ala is feeding me. And from a young age, this tarbiyah and this nurturing needs to take place. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, his mother nurtured him in this manner. That every day when he would return home as a young boy and he would ask for food, the mother would say, go in the other room, perform 2 rakat salah, and thereafter ask from Allah that, oh Allah, give me food. So she would perform, he would perform two rakat salah, and he would say, "Oh Allah, give me my food." And whilst he was making dua, the mother would quickly slip the food under him. So he would finish dua, he would open his eyes and he would see the food and he would eat the food. Now daily he would do this. So the conviction had become so strong, that he had this firm belief that the food, my mother does not give me the food, Allah gives me the food. So it so happened that one day the mother was outside and she was unable to return home on time, and Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani as a child returned first. But because he was nurtured in this way, he went onto the musalla, he performed his two rakats, he raised his hand and he said, "Oh Allah, give me my food." And when he finished the dua, the food was there. The mother came rushing home because she knew the reality that the world runs through means. Food's not just going to come from the heavens. But imagine what the conviction was, with what conviction he was making dua. Because his belief was that Allah gives me the food. So she returned home and she saw the food there. She said, "Where did this food come from?" He said, "Where it comes from every single day, Allah Ta'ala has given it to me." This yaqeen and conviction. But that's a very high level. That's a very high level which very few people reach. But we have to at least have that conviction that whenever we ask from somebody, we need to have this much in mind that he is not giving it to me, it's Allah who is giving it to me. He is just the means. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma that اِحْفَذِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَذْكَ. So in that famous hadith, what did he say? He was a young boy. But he said to him, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Whenever you ask, ask from Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَئِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Whenever you seek assistance from Allah ta'ala. Whenever you need something. If you are ill, before going to the doctor, first say, "Oh Allah, cure me." And then go to the doctor. Before taking the medication, "Oh Allah, cure me." Then take the medication. Before drinking water, "Oh Allah, quench my thirst." Now drink the water. "Oh Allah, satiate my hunger." Then eat the food. Otherwise, you will see many times, you will eat plate upon plate, but you still feel hungry. You think to yourself, "I've eaten so much today, why am I still hungry?" This is Allah Ta'ala telling you that the food cannot satiate your hunger. I satiate your hunger. A person sleeps for 8 hours and he's still tired. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives that peace. So before going to sleep, speak to Allah and say that, "Oh Allah, the rest that I need, you give me that rest through the sleep." Like this, make a habit of speaking with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is Tawheed. At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawat, wat-tayyibat. What are we saying in these words? We are saying that all my physical worship, all my verbal worship, and all my financial worship, it's all for Allah Ta'ala. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. My salah, my hajj, my living and my dying is all for Allah Rabbul Alameen. So in these first few verses of Suratul Ahqaf, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has emphasized this point of Tawheed and has negated Shirk. So just concluding with this Hadith Qudsi, in there Allah Ta'ala mentions that when all of you are astray and I am the one who guides you, then fastahduni. It's from me that you should ask for hidayah and guidance. Ahdikum, and I will guide you. And all of you are hungry. I am the one who gives you food. So ask food from me and I will satiate your hunger. I will give you food. And ya ibadi kullukum arin, O my beloved servants, all of you are nude. You did not have any clothing. Illa man kasawtahu, except for that person who I give clothing to. Even this clothing is a great gift and great ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala. Our minds does not even go towards it. Daily we are wearing clothes. Majority of us do not even recite the dua when we wear clothes. Alhamdulillahi alladhi kasani. All praise be to that Allah who has clothed me. Just imagine, if you wake up in the morning and you had no clothes, how would you go out? This is why, when it comes to food and drink, because a person can stay away from food and drink for a certain period of time, Allah Ta'ala tests us, and certain times we don't have any food or we don't have any drink. Sometimes you are at home and you want food but there's nothing to eat. Or you are outside somewhere and you see that, where's the closest shop I can go to? And you see that it's still a mile away. So now you're going to have to be hungry until you reach that takeaway or that restaurant. So there will be certain times in your life when you will see that you are tested with hunger and with thirst. But because without clothing, it's not possible for a person to go out. This is why it's very rare to find a time when a person will see that today I have no clothing whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala always grants us clothing. Because this is a great gift of Allah Ta'ala. So we say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi kasani. All praise be to that Allah who has clothed me. Ma uwari bihi awrati. Wa atajammalu bihi fi hayati. And thereafter we mentioned two benefits of the clothing. Ma uwari bihi awrati. Number one, because of this clothing, I am able to cover my shame. I am able to cover my satr, my awrah. Otherwise, how would I go out in the people if I didn't have this clothing? وَأَتَجَمَّلُ بِهِ فِي حَيَاتِي. And through this clothing, I am able to beautify myself also. So clothing is a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. Food is a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. Hidayah and guidance is a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. We make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that He gives us the ability to always keep this point in mind, that Allah Ta'ala is one, He is the only one who is worthy of worship, and He has full power and control over everything. And whenever we have a need, then it is Allah who we should ask from. And if we ever do need to ask from others besides Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then we should keep this in mind, that this is just a means, and this person will only be able to fulfill this need of mine if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grants him the ability to do so. Otherwise, the real one who fulfills all our means is none other than Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salah. Hayya 'ala salah. Hayya 'ala falah. Hayya 'ala falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله